right to it.
All right, we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Kuf Yudaf. I apologize for the delay this morning. So today's daf is Kuf Yudaf. We're going to pick up on the bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Remember, again, we left off at the two dots, Kitana v'Charesha. So Amrav Nachman. And Nachman said, Ashkech se l'rav Adabar Avo u'l'rav Chano Chasnei. Thank you very much. Di Yasvi v'kamakavu akvasa b'shuka de Pompadisa. So Rav Nachman says, I one time found Rav Adabar Avo and his son l'rav Chano, and they were sitting and they were surrounded by disciples, by Talmidim, in the shuk, in the marketplace of Pompadisa. V'omri, and they said, Hadisnan chari ketana v'chareshes, Ein bias achos mehen poteres sarasa. When we say, the Rebbe said, this is referring to the case of the Mishnah, where a man is married to a ketana and a chareshes, and remember, again, he dies without children. Both of them fall to the brother-in-law. So the Mishnah said that the bia with one of them does not go ahead and pater, does not exempt the tzara. Hani mili dinafla me'achav pikeach, delo yadinan I biktar nechale, I bichareshes nechale. That's only when the husband was a pikeach, because we're not sure which one was the primary wife, which one was the wife that ultimately he truly identified with, that he felt was the primary spouse. I biktar nechale, on one hand you could say that the ketana was his quote-unquote favorite wife, the asir l'chlal dea, because at some point in time, the ketana will become a gedola, ibechareshes, or perhaps again, it was the chareshes who was the favorite wife, ibechareshes, necha, the gedolahi, ubasbia, the chareshes, as much as she lacks full das, but she already is a gedola, and therefore, again, is a little bit more of a peer to him. So the Gemara said, ubasbia, and he has the ability to have physical relationship. Aval nafla me'achiv chareshes, but if the brother who passed away was a chereish, then vaday v'chareshes nechale. Then it's clear that lamais, again, the wife that was his primary wife was the chareshes. The Gemara says the bas biyahi, because first of all, again, she's a bas biyah. Furthermore, ubas minei, and she is of the same standing as he is. Va'aminaluhu, so this Rav Osei said this, remember, this is Rav Nachman saying what he saw. He came across Rav Adabar Ava and his son-in-law Rav Chana, and they're arguing this point out in the shuk, in the marketplace of Pompadisa. So comes along, so now, so Rav Nachman says, Va'aminaluhu, I told them, afilu nafla le me'echav cheresh, even if the brother who passed away was a cheresh, nami misafkale, there is still a suffix which one was ultimately, again, the primary wife, which one was considered to be, because we'll say, Christian, what are you talking about primary wife? So the only time you have this primary wife discussion is when you're dealing with rabbinic marriages. Obviously, if he's married to both these women biblically, there's no primary, there's no secondary. Both women have the same exact status. In these cases of rabbinic marriage, the shayla is, if you could identify who the primary wife is, then lemaisa, yibum or chalitza with that one will by definition exempt the other. So that's the discussion. And Rav Nachman essentially comes along and says, look, in all cases, there's no way to properly gauge or truly gauge who is quote-unquote the primary wife. Therefore, keitzat tzakanasim. So what do you do in this case of the ketan and the chareshes? Amarav chista, amarav. Here's what you do. Koni sachareshes and motzia beget. So you go ahead and you could do yibum with the chareshes. Now, also, remember, we saw yesterday, you can't do chalitza with the chareshes. Why not? Why not? Because Lemaisa, she can't read. And remember, we saw before, as much as we paskin, that Kriya is not ma'akev. Kriya is not ma'akev when it can be done. But if it can't be done, then it's ma'akev. So you can't do chalitza with her. But what you can do is you can marry her, kones, umotzia beget, and then ultimately afterwards you could divorce her. I mean, this is talking about a case where, let's say, the chareshes does not really want to marry the yavam. Let's say the chareshes doesn't really want to be, she doesn't want to be his wife. But Lemaisa, there's no other way for her out of this situation except to marry and then to divorce. V'ketana, what do you do with the ketana? Tamtin ad shetagdil v'tachlos. The ketana, you wait until she gets older, wait until she reaches the age of physical maturation, and then ultimately, again, then she could do chalitza. So the Gemara says, Amrav chista, shmamina kasavarav, choreshes, kinuya u'mishuyeres, ketana kinuya, ve'eino kinuya. So we'll say, now, this is very interesting. So Rav Chista said that Rav must hold, that based on what we just said, that Rav must hold the Rav must hold. So let's be clear. So Rav said that the way to deal with this case of where the man is married, that the Chareshes and the Ketana fall to the brother for Yibum, is you marry the Chareshes and then you could divorce her. And the Ketana, you simply wait until she gets older and then she could do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, based on this, it is clear that Rav holds Chareshes Kinuya Umishuyeres, Ketana Kinuya Ve'ina Kinuya. That it must be that Rav holds that a Ketana, that a chareshes is kinuya o mishuyaris, which means that a chareshes abosai has a full-fledged marriage to the husband, meaning rabbinically, but mishuyaris. That marriage is lacking. That marriage is lacking. So it's as complete as it can be under the given circumstances, but lemaisa, it is lacking. So, however, kitano, kinuya ve'ina kinuya. So what does it mean, kinuya ve'ina kinuya? Kinuya ve'ina kinuya means it's a suffix. Kitana, we're not sure exactly what the nature of that marriage is. So Rabosa, because remember, what did Rav say? Rav said that the husband could fully marry, he could fully do yibum with the chareshes, which indicates to us what? That there is a full-fledged bond between the yavam and the chareshes. So therefore, again, she's kinuya, b'mishuyaris, meaning that she's married to him, but the bond is not is as complete as it's going to be, but it's not 1,000% bond. On the other hand, Kitana, we're not sure exactly what to do with her, therefore we have to wait until she becomes a Gedola, because we also remember, why don't we just let her do Chalitza when she's a Kitana, or at least after a certain age, even before she becomes a full-fledged Gedola, because we're not exactly sure about the nature of the marriage of the Kitana. Because if you think it's the opposite, that a chareshes is a suffix, but a kitana is fully vested in the marriage, but again, fully vested in accordance with where she's holding. The Gemara says, then ema koni sumotzia beget, then ultimately say chareshes amenu koni sumotzia beget. Tasiv gabe, top of kuf yud aleph, then what bless you? Then why do you have to say ultimately again that she marries him and receives a get? Tasiv gabe, mimanav shach, let her go ahead and continue to live with the husband. Mimanav shach, I kinuya he, if ultimately she was fully, kinuya literally acquired, she was fully married to the first husband, ha kinuya he, then she'll be fully married to the yavam, ve'ilav kinuya he, and if she's not fully married, she was not fully married to husband number one, ha nachris ba'almahi, then lemay says she's not considered to be a yavama legabe the yavam, but rather she's just any woman, v'chitema kitana amay tamtena shetakdil v'tichlots, tesev gabe, aye, but if you're going to say that a kitana, and if you're going to say by a kitana, that maybe she's kinuya mishuyeres, that she is fully vested in the marriage, she's just a little piece that's kind of missing. But again, it's not a suffix. You're both say, I want to articulate this a little bit better. So kinuya mishuyeres means there's no suffix about her status, but we just recognize that her status is not absolute. Kinuya ve'ino kinuya means it's a suffix. We're not sure about the nature of her status. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, v'chitema kitana, and if you're going to say that a kitana is really kinuya umishuyeres, that fully vested, but with a limited status, amai tamtenat shetagdil v'tachlots, why does she have to wait until she gets older and does chalitza? Tesev gabe, right? Let her live with the man. If ultimately she was acquired by the first husband, ha kinuyahi, then she'll be acquired by the avam. Ilav kinuyahi, and if she wasn't acquired by the first husband, then nuchrisa ba'almahi, then ultimately she's not considered to be a yavama of the brother-in-law, but she's just the isha nachriya, and there's no problem. So the Gemara says, "Im kein chareshes b'may tefok." If that's the case, then how does a chareshes get out of this particular situation? So Rav Sheshes, this becomes clear in accordance with the way the Rav Chista interpreted according to Rav. So also, if two brothers were married to two sisters, Yusomos. Remember, Yusomos means that they were married off by their mother or their brother, rabbinic marriage, and they're minors. One of them is the Kitana, the Chareshes, and one of them is... And one of them is the Chareshes. I've also said the common denominator between a Ketana and Chareshes is what? both have rabbinic marriage. So Kitana and Chareshes, Mace Bailo Shol Kitana. So let's say the husband now of the Kitana dies. So what happens? So we'll say if the husband of the Kitana dies, so the Kitana falls to the other brother who's married to the Chareshes for Yibum. So what do you do in such a situation? Chareshes Yotze Beget. So the Chareshes ultimately again is divorced with a get. So the Chareshes says Teitze Beget. So the Gemara is Yotze Beget. The Kitana Tamtin ad shetagdil v'tachlots, and the Kitana should wait until she gets older, and then she'll do chalitza. So the Gemara says, "Well, so the Gemara says, well, we're going to explain these cases. If let's say the husband of the chareshes dies, now the chareshes falls to the husband of the Kitana. So what happens? Kitana yotze beget. So the Kitana ultimately again is divorced with a get. The chareshes asura liolam, and the chareshes ultimately again will be asura liolam to the individual. Vimba chareshes, but if he had relations with the chareshes, no sin la get v'hutra." Ultimately, again, he gives her a get, and she becomes permitted. When we say permitted, permitted means to anyone. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. I amrit bishlama, chareshes kinuya mishuyeres, kitana kinuya veina kinuya. So if you tell me that the logic is that a chareshes is fully vested, but in a limited capacity, and a kitana, we're not sure about her status, mishum hachi, dechi ba'ala chareshes nosen la get v'hutra. Then I understand where when what? Where when the chareshes falls for Yibum and the Yavam has relations with her, and then he gives her a get that she's permitted to any man. Why? Because effectively he's done Yibum with her and now he's divorced her, which means that she's permitted to the general population. Obviously, she's a grusha, so minus the Kohanim. The Amrit Mimanavshach, because you say to ourselves, because we can say Manavshach, ikitana kinuyehi. If the Kitana was acquired, Hanafka Mishum Achos Isha. Then Rabosai, then the Kitana ultimately will not be able to do anything because she is the sister's wife. Not the sister's wife, the wife's sister. Ilav Kinuya, and if she's not acquired, then Shapir Miyavim, then you should be able to do Yibum. Ela Amrit Chareshes Kinuya Ve'ina Kinuya, Kitana Kinuya Mishuyeres. But rather it must be that it backs up what Rav said before, that a Chareshes is Kinuya Ve'ina Kinuya. If you say that a chareshes is suffik, right, and a kitana is knuya mishuyeres, fully vested but in limited capacity, then ki bala chareshes amai no sin get. Then if you had relations with the chareshes, then why is it that you would give her a get afterwards, v'hutra, and why would that make her permitted? Havile bia psula. This would be an inappropriate bia, right? This would be a bia psula, because Rabbi say again, her status is in suffik. If her status is in suffik, then the yavam can't live with her. Ubia psula lo patra. And a bia psula, as we know, does not exempt women from chalitza. To which the Gemara answers, Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Nechemyahi, Damar bia psula pataras mi chalitza. Because Rabbi Nechemyah is of the opinion that even a bia psula will exempt women from a chalitza. I Rabbi Nechemyah, but if it's Rabbi Nechemyah, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Braisa, Misha Hayana, so Ishte Yisomos, a man was married to two Yisomos, Kitana the Chareshes. One was a Kitana, one was a Chareshes. Umes, and what happens? And he died. Now, I will say this is the same man, married to these two women with rabbinic marriage. One is a Kitana, one is a Chareshes. And what happens? Ba Yavam ala Kitana. So the Yavam came along and had relations with the Kitana, Yibum with the Kitana, the Chazer Ubala Chareshes. And then he has relations again with the Chareshes. Now, I will say, now remember, the way this works, of course, is that this, of course, is Asur, because leaving aside their status, Lemaisa, again, there's one Yibum per marriage. So there's no such thing as Yibum with both of these women. So he had relations with the Kitana and then afterwards with the Chareshes. Oh, Sheba Ochiv ala Chareshes, or for that matter, Yavam number one had relations with the Kitana, and then his brother, who's technically speaking Yavam number two, has relations with the Chareshes. What's the halacha? Ne'esru shtehen alav. Both women become Asr. I will say, look at Rashi. So this is Rashi in the wide lines, four lines down. Ne'esru shtehen alav. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehi bedvaro. So ne'esru shtehen alav, says Rashi. Af agav diktana medina lo mifsala alei mishum bia dechareshes. So we'll say, even though technically speaking, if he had relations with the Kitana first, she should not become asura to him because of subsequent relations with the Chareshes. Mimanav shach. Ikitana kinuya leka midi basabiyasa. Because if you say that the kitana is kinuya, if she's fully acquired in the marriage, then lemaisa any subsequent bia, meaning with another co-wife, will be irrelevant. Ve'ilav kinuya, and if she's not acquired within the marital context, then nochris ba'almahi. Then she's just a regular woman, in which case, again, she shouldn't be disqualified either. So the Gemara is pointing out, but remember, so in this case over here, the Yavam had relations with the Ketana, and then either he himself had relations with the Chareshes, or another Braha that had relations with the Chareshes. And the Braha said, Paskin, that in such a case like that, the first wife, i.e. the Ketana, becomes a surah to her husband. So the Gemara is trying, so Rashi is pointing out, logically, this doesn't make sense because there's no reason why the Ketana should be Asura. Kazman of Shach, if she's fully vested in the marriage, meaning if she's Kinuya Mishuyeres, then what? Then Lemaisa again. Then Lemaisa, Bia with her is the end, and any subsequent Bia will not invalidate her. If she's not acquired in the marriage, then what? She's just Stama woman, just a regular person, and therefore, again, Bia with the Charesha still won't invalidate her marriage. However, the Gemara says, Afilu Hachi Asura, nevertheless, she'll become Asura. Why? Kidmafari Shalakamon, Mishum Gezera Dilma Asi Leme Avet Ipcha. Out of a concern of Osai, that you may come to do the opposite. Uboil Chareshes Beresha, and you'll have relations with the Chareshes in the beginning. Ubias Ketana Paslala, Deshama Kinuya Hikula, Vaasilamemarnami Tesev Chareshes Gares. So Osai, listen to this. So here is a very interesting case. So quickly. The issue is like this. The real case of concern is where there's a situation where the Yavam had relations with the Chareshes first, and then the Ketana afterwards. Now, here's what we've established so far. Remember, we're going with Rav's idea that what's the status of the Ketana? What's the status of the Chareshes? Kinuya u'mishuyeres. Fully vested but limited capacity. And what's the status of the Ketana? Kinuya ve'ina kinuya safik. Now, we'll say, now you'll say to yourself, which sounds like a stronger status? It sounds like the status of the Chareshes is stronger because she's fully vested with limited capacity. But if you think about it, it's not totally true because there's a possibility that a Ketana has full-fledged marriage. Now remember, the stakes for the Ketana are much higher because it's all or nothing. Either she writes a suffix, either she has full marriage, and when we say full marriage, it still can be full rabbinic marriage, but full rabbinic marriage, or perhaps no real rabbinic marriage at all. But there's the possibility that she has 100%. What do we know for sure about the Chareshes? That she doesn't have 100%. We know whatever it is, she has 80%, but she has a full 80%, she has 100% of 80%, if that makes sense. Right? She has 100% of 80%. See, here's the interesting issue. Let's say, again, Ruvain's married to Chareshes and Ketana, right? Not their real names, but just descriptive names. Chareshes and Ketana, Ruvain dies, they fall before Shimon for Yibum. So watch this. If Shimon goes ahead and now has relations with the Chareshes, and then afterwards, so we assume, okay, that's his Yavama, that's Yibum. Then he has relations with the Ketana. And I will say, now this gets complicated. So now the Gemara says, relations with the Ketana will make the Chareshes Asura to him. Why? Because there's a possibility that his relations with the Ketana was what? Full-fledged Yibum. Full-fledged Yibum. So because there's the possibility that was complete Yibum, therefore that will Asur the Chareshes on him. Now, that's only true in the case where it was Chareshes first and Ketana second. Technically speaking, if it was Ketana first and Chareshes second, then what? What should be the impact of the Bia with the Chareshes on the Ketana? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Except there's a Gzera. The Gzera is that we say that even in the case of where it was Ketana first, Chareshes second, that she still can, the Ketana still becomes Asura of a Gzera, lest you come to confuse us with the case of what? Chareshes first and Ketana second. So that's back to the Gemara. So what do you do in such a situation like this? What should you do? Ketza takanasan. Chareshes yotzeis beget. You have to divorce the Chareshes with a get. Uketana tamtin atche takdlo v'tachlots. And the Ketana will wait until she becomes an adult. And she'll do chalitza. So the Gemara says, I'm b'shlam l'chareshes kenuya mishuyares ketana kenuya v'ena kenuya. So we'll say, this is really, you have to admit it. This is a very interesting Gemara. Right? You've been resisting it. But it's very interesting. Because here, all the Gemara is trying to do is to try to highlight certain concepts. Rav is espousing, which of us you have to understand something. This is if Rav is correct, this is a major yesod in our Gemara that can help us navigate so many of the complexities of this suya. Because remember, part of the great ambiguity of this Gemara is what is the status of these marriages. So the Gemara says everything we just said makes sense if you hold the charesh es kenuya mishuyares, that a kenuya is fully married, but with limited capacity. Ketana kenuya ve'en kenuya, but the ketana is mamash a case of safek. V'rabanan hi, and therefore this will reflect the view of the Rabbanan. Excuse me, v'rabanan hi, mishum hachi tamtin ashe tagdil v'tachlots. That's why we want the ketana to wait until ultimately what? Until she becomes a gedolah shekidu chalitza. The dilma kadim ubal. The dilma kadim ubal chareshes beresha. V'havi le bia diktana bia psula. Because they will say, what may happen? Because it could happen that Lamais again, he'll have religion to the Chareshes first, and then the Bia of the Ketan will be a Bia Psula. Ali'i, Amit Rabbi Nechemihi. But if you say that it's Rabbi Nechemiah, Ha'amar Bia Psula Pochra. So they will say, see, in this logic over here, that Lamais, even if he had relations with the, even if he had relations with the Chareshes, so remember, again, we still want the Ketana to wait until she gets older and do Chalitza. Why? Because the Bia with the Chareshes is still what we call a Bia Psula. And a Bia Psula does not exempt a woman from Yibum. But if it was really Rabbi Nechemiah, then Rabbi Nechemiah says, Ha'amar Bia Psula Patra. Rabbi Nechemiah says that a Bia Psula Patra. Therefore, I will say in the case of where he had relations with the Chareshes. So what should the Ketana have to do? What should the Ketana have to do? Nothing. Why? Because there was Bia, and Rabbi Nechemiah holds that even a Bia Psula, meaning also what's a Bia Psula mean? Meaning even a Bia Psula that is not 100% halachically good, so to speak, even such a Bia will exempt the Kohai from Chalitza. The fact that we still want the Ketana to go ahead and wait till she gets older to do Chalitza indicates that we don't pass like Rabbi Nechemiah, and we will say that a Bia Psula does not exempt her. Elo Shmamina Rabbanan hi, Shmamina. Rather, see that our Brice reflects the view of the Rabbanan, that a Bia Psula does not pater the woman from Chalitza, and indeed that is the case. Amar Avashi, Mereisha Nami Shmamina Rabbanan hi. Even from the ratio, we can see that it's really the Rabbanon. Diktani, in Ba'al HaChareshes, no sin lo get. If he has relations to the Chareshes, he has to give her a get v'hutra, and she becomes permitted to every man. V'lo katani in Ba'al HaKetana, no sin lo get v'hutra. And yet, interestingly enough, it doesn't say that if he had relations with the Ketana, that's what? That he could go, bless you. If he had relations with the Ketana, that he could give her a get, and she's permitted. Why? Imishum ha. So what does that show you? That shows you that Shemaisa, because she has to wait until she gets older and does Chalitza. Because why? Because again, there's a suffix that she's fully married to this man, and therefore again, just simply to give her a get is not going to work. She requires chalitza. To which the Gemara says, no, imishum ha lo iri. If that's your proof, that's not a good proof. Chareshes de lesle takanta de teira. So chareshes, where? She really has no way out of this, except what? Except to go ahead and get married. She had, meaning the takanta de kerim, she has no option of chalitza. So katani takanta de isura. Literally, it goes, it tells her the literally the remedy that is asr. I will say, it doesn't literally mean asr over here. What it means is second best. She can't do chalitza, so what does she do? She marries the yavam, and he gives her a get. Ketana de isle takanta de teira lotani takanta de isura. But I will say, when it comes to a ketana, since she has what we call takanta de teira, which means what? She has chalitza. She has the option of chalitza. Just the only catch is what? It's not now. She's going to have to until she becomes a gedola. Therefore, again, the Braisa does not list any other options. Rabosai, what comes out of this sugya? What comes out of this sugya is a very important yisod. First of all, we had the psak of Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman said that in the case of where the man was married to both the Ketana and the Chareshes, at the end of the day, we don't know which is the primary wife, and therefore, again, we have to go ahead and so somehow dissolve the unions of both of them. That then led us ultimately, again, to the position of Rav. Rav said, when it comes to the Chareshes, how do you dissolve the bond? He marries her, effectively does Yibam with her, and then divorces her. That's how the bond is dissolved, because she's incapable of chalitza. For the Ketana, what does she do? She waits tamtin, she waits till she gets older, and then what? And then she does chalitza. According to Rav, what this highlights is the very nature of these bonds. That Ketana is kenuya ve'ena kenuya. We don't know what her status is, which Rabbi say actually puts her at a stronger level, because there's a possibility that what? That she's fully married. On the other hand, Chareshes is kenuya u'mishuyares. She is fully married, but with limited capacity. Says the Mishnah, Misha and Nasu Lishtei Yisomos Ketanos. If a man was married to two Yisomos Ketanos, two women, two minors, right? Rabbinic marriages. And he died, and the Yavam has relations with the first one, and then he has relations with the second one, or another brother, i.e. another Yavam, has relations with the second one. He does not go ahead and invalidate the first. In other words, Rabbi say, if you look at Rashi, so again, remember, essentially what it says is that when you have two women, two wives, who are on the same halachic level, once you do something with one, what you do with the second one is irrelevant. Now, again, when we say irrelevant, it's usser. When we say irrelevant, it does not impact the yibum that was done with the first. V'chein beis charashos, same thing if he was married to two women who are both charashos, both deaf mutes. Same thing, as long as they're on the same status, then lemais, again, once you've done, let's say, yibum with one, anything that you subsequently do with the other is absolutely halachically irrelevant. Ketana v'chareshes. Oh, but this is where it gets interesting. Let's say a man is married to a ketana and a chareshes. So what happens? So we'll say, in this case over here, remember, so now both of these women are rabbinic marriages. But now remember, what have we established based on our last sugya? They're not the same, right? So they're both derabbanon, but yeah, we've seen the mechanics of them. We don't know, but can potentially be radically different. So what happens if Yavam had relations with the Ketana and then he had relations with the Chareshes? So we saw this before. It's exciting, right? You see, when you see something that was quoted before and you learned it already, you get to the Mishnah, you understand it. So what happens if Yavam has relations with the Ketana, then he has relations with the Chareshes? Or a second brother who is a Yavam has relations with the Chareshes, then in that case, Pasala Saketana. So we'll say this we've already established, right? Because even though, remember, this case, the Ketana should not be Pasal. This case, the Ketana really should not be Pasal. But Lamaisa, again, she is. We pass the Ketana. Ba Yavam ala Chareshes. And I will say, if you look at Rashi just says over here again, Mishum Gzeira, Dilma Kadim u Ba'al Chareshes Beish. Remember, the real case we're afraid of is the case of where he has relations first with the Chareshes, like we said before, and then the Ketana. Why? Because in that case, there's a possibility that what? That the Ketana was the 100% one, and the Chareshes is not. That's the case we're really afraid of. That's the case where the Chareshes becomes pasul. But in order not to confuse the cases, where goes are in both cases. Similarly, if the Yavam has relations to the Chareshes, and then he has relations to the Ketana, or for that matter, it doesn't have to be the same brother, but another brother who's also Yavam has relations with the Ketana, pasul sa Chareshes. In that case, they invalidate the union with the Chareshes. Pikachos the Chareshes. So what happens now? A man is married to two women. One is a pikachos, normal, competent, v'chareshes, the other is a chareshes, and now what happens? They both fall for yibum. So let's call Shimon is the yavam, ba yavam ala pikachos, v'chazra ba ala chareshes, osha ba achil ala chareshes, lo pasal asa pikachos. I will say this is an easy case. Why? Because once he has relations with the pikachos, then what? That's it, we're done, right? That's Yibum. Once Yibum, Rabbi Yossi, is accomplished, then anything that subsequently occurs is what? I'll qualify it. It's halachically irrelevant. It's usser, the person who has the relations with the secondary woman will violate an isser, but lemais again, does not impact the Yibum that was performed. Well, now this is interesting. If you had relations first with the Chareshes, and then had relations with the Pikachos, Oshe ba'achav ala Pikachos, Pasal Sachareshes. Now, both this case is obvious as well. Even if the first one he had relations with was the Chareshes, but then he has relations with the Pikachas, then what? That will invalidate his union to the Chareshes, which makes sense. Because obviously, in this case, what do you have? You have a Doraisa and Dirabanon. Once you have relations with the Doraisa woman, then that by definition will always trump the Rabbanon relationship, even if what? Even if the Rabbanon relationship happened first. Next. Gidolu Ketana, similarly if you have a case, man married to two women, one is a Gidolu, one is a Ketana, Ba'yav Ma'ala Gidolu V'chazu Ma'ala Ketana, Sheba Achiv Ala Ketana, similarly the man is a woman, right, Reuven, right, so again, Gidolu Ketana fall for Yibam before Shimon, and then what happens, Shimon has relations with the Gidolu, and then the Ketana, or another brother has relations with the Ketana, L'Apostol Asa Gidolu, both say, this is the same thing as the previous case, just different terms, because Gidolu is Doraisa, Ketana, well Ketana is Suffolk, but in this case over here, still the Vadai Gidolu will trump the Ketana, no matter what order the relations occurred in. Similarly, fine. Osha ba'achal v'agdola pasak tana. Belazer omer melamdin es hakitana shetimayin ba. So what's that, Rabbi Lazer? Now we've seen this already before, right? Now, just interestingly enough, we quoted this earlier. Rabbi Lazer, some versions have it as Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Lazer says that we, in this case, wherever there's a kitana and a gedola involved, what do? We teach the kitana to do mia. Now, I will say, in this case over here, this is where the co-wives, one is a gedola, one is a kitana. Rabbi Lazer says, we're going to circumvent this whole issue. How? As soon as the husband dies, if he leaves behind the kitana widow, we tell her, Do miyun. Now remember, we spoke about this idea, is whether or not you could do miyun in such a situation like this, where the husband is already dead. So Rabbi Lozer clearly holds that you can. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Krabi Elozer. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda says, Halacha Falaz Rabbi Elozer. And therefore, in this case, we would tell the Kitana to go ahead and do miyun. V'chin Amar Rabbi Elozer, Halacha Krabi Elozer. And Rabbi Elozer said, Halacha Zak Rabbi Elozer, Utsricha. And this is necessary. Why? And I will say now, essentially what we've done is, right, it's a good way to get your own opinion now. There's two different Rabbi Lazers, right? There's Rabbi Lazer ben Horkinos, there's Rabbi Lazer ben Arach. There are plenty of Rabbi Lazers to go around. So the Gemara says, Utsricha. I didn't take that back. There are not plenty of Rabbi Lazers. There are very few Rabbi Lazers, but there's more than one. That's why the Gemara is quoting Rabbi Lazer, name Rabbi Lazer. So the Gemara says, Utsricha. Now remember, and I will say now, essentially what we've done is, we've now stated this halacha twice, right? You say the halacha of Rabbi Lazer, meaning that whenever there's a katana involved in a case like this, we teach her to do miyun in order to just kind of circumvent this entire situation. Now, the obvious kasha is, why do I need to be taught this halacha twice? Right? Why does the Gemara need to tell me that the halacha falls Rabbi Lazer in two different cases? I'll tell you why. Because if he would have just told me in the first case, now if you look at Rashi, Rashi says actually almost right across in Rashi, remember, this was the case, you remember, where there were two sisters married to two brothers. And remember, one of them was married to the Kitana, one of them was married to the Gedola. So remember what occurred is, the husband of the Gedola died. She falls for Yibum to the husband of the Kitana. So remember, you can't do Yibum. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, sisters. So what did Rabbi Lazer say? We teach the Kitana, who is the wife of the Avam, to do Miyun, get out of that marriage, and allow her husband to go ahead and do Yibum. So the Gemara says, if it would have just said the Halach Falz Rabbi Lazer there, I would have said, B'hachkam Rishmolach Rabbi Lazer, Mishum Delo Kiyem Mitzvah Yibum, because he has not fulfilled the Mitzvah of Yibum. That's why, again, it's a Mitzvah Yibum in front of him, it's a Doraisa, and therefore, the Ma'isa, again, let him fulfill the Mitzvah of you, Ava Baha, De'ikayim Mitzvah Yibum, Ema Tarvayu Lifku Beget, but in this case over here, we're what? In this case over here, where he can be mekayim mitzvahs yibum, right? Look at Rashi. Avabahadi kayim mitzvahs yibum b'shtehen, ema lo amar shmua halacha k'rabi Elazar, eliyotzi shtehen beget. Rather, I would say, but in this case, we're technically speaking, yibum can be accomplished. Why? I will say, because remember, these are not cases of sisters. Perhaps, again, that should be accomplished, and they can divorce them with a get. V'yash, and therefore, again, it has to be stated, only even in this case, Rabbi Elazar holds that m'lam gana sakatana shetemayin. V'yash mo'inan b'ha mishum digidolo ramya kamei aval idachlo. Or on the other hand, I would have said that perhaps it's only in this case where Rabbi Elazar states his shita. That's what? Because the Gedola is right here. Look at Rashi. Since there is the opportunity to Yibum with the Gedola, that's why we encourage the Kitana to do miyun. Aval idachlo, but in that first case, that is not the situation. Therefore, tzvicha. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar, Elochim Lamaisa, the Gemara says, it needs to teach us that in all cases, Rabbi Elazar says that whenever there is a kitana involved, we will always go ahead and try to encourage her to go ahead and do miyun. Says the Mishnah, Yavam Sheba al Yavama Kitana. So if a Yavam had relations with Yavama Kitana, so we'll say this is now a case of Yavam Katan and Yavama Kitana. We're moving away a little bit from the previous sugyas of Chareshes and Kitana, and now focusing on a little bit of a different slant. So now Yavam Katan has relations to Yavama Kitana. I will say, now remember, normally we don't do that. Right, we don't do that. We wait. And in such a situation like that, we wait until they both grow up in order to do something. But let's say again, nevertheless, they had Bia. So what happens? Yigdilu Zaimzeh. we let them grow up with one another. Now, what does that mean? V'imbalagarshrash says, eino yachal, ach yagdil, to get cut and eino get. So it's essentially then we maintain their status like that. We don't do anything. We go into a holding pattern until they get older. Because at this point in time, let's say I have to be with her, technically speaking, this is also assuming, by the way, we're talking about a boy who's over the age of 9 years old, where the bia is considered to be a halachically significant bia, because obviously younger than that age, the act is insignificant. So there's been now a halachically recognized bia that has occurred. So the maisa, to a certain degree, the relationship has been initiated, but it certainly can't be dissolved. So we have to wait then until they grow up in order to do anything. Next, ba'a yavam gedola. Let's say the yavam was a katan and had relations with the yavam gedola. Tigdalenu. Literally, again, we let him grow up with her, which also means same thing. In that case, also, we have to wait until the boy grows up in order for him to do anything, either to continue to remain married to this woman or to potentially divorce her with a get. If the Yavama says that, look, there's been no bia within 30 days. There's no, Rashi says, the Yavam, quote-unquote, married her, but has not yet consummated the relationship, and it's been 30 days. So kofen oso shiyachlotzla. We force him to go ahead and divorce her, to do chalitza. So obviously, if you're not doing yibum, then you should do chalitza. La'acher shloshim yom, but however, again, if it's after 30 days, mevakshin heimenu shiyachlotzla, then we ask him politely to go ahead and do chalitza with her. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi says, over here that within 30 days, Rashi says, Liyavam, lo nivalti lo, Liyavam, veget yavmin yotzi mitachas yada, kid mefarish pigmar. So we'll see, the Gemara is going to qualify this case. Vor balticha, v'dayach, so we'll say, all right, you know, actually, we'll leave it for the Gemara to qualify this case. Ubizman shehu moda, and if he admits that bia did not occur, afil la'achar shneimasar chodesh, even again, if more than 12 months have elapsed, kofin oso shiachlotzla, we force him to do chalitza. Hanoderas hana'ami yivama b'chaye b'aylas, what's this interesting case? Let's say a woman, and Rashi points out over here, gets into a terrible fight with her brother-in-law. She really doesn't like her brother-in-law. So she says, I take a nether, never to get any benefit from you. Okay, so this happened, you know, whatever, at Thanksgiving. You know, so I take a nether, never to get any benefit from you. Fine, then what happens? Husband dies. So now we've got a problem. So what's the halacha? So it says she has a neder upon her that prevents her getting any benefit, which would seem to preclude yibum. To which the Gemara answers, kofen oso shiach lotzla. We force him to do chalitza with her. La'achar misas baila. However, we'll say, let's say she made this neder after her husband died. So we'll say, if she made this neder after her husband died, then what? It looks a little bit fishy. It looks a little bit fishy because then it looks like what she's trying to do is to take a neder to prevent yibum from occurring, which we'll see in the Gemara, we're not even being an effective neder. So in that case, but nevertheless, she's also clearly articulating the fact that she does not want to be married to this guy. We request of him to go ahead and divorce her. But if... I'm sorry, chalitza, excuse me, thank you. We request him to do chalitza, thank you. However, v'mniskavna l'kach, but if she had kavana, meaning if her whole intention is clear to us that the whole intention is to uproot the possibility of yibum, then afilei b'chaye b'aylam of action meshiach lotzla. Then in that case, if it's clear that her intention is to abrogate the yibum, then in that case, again, we can't force the oven to do chalitza, but again, clearly, if she expresses her intent that she doesn't want to do this, we've already seen that Beis Din always looks at every single Yibum situation on its own merit and tries to see, should Yibum happen here, should Yibum not happen here? So if she's already making a neder saying, I hate this guy, or I don't want to get any... So Beis Din, under certain circumstances, will force the Yavam to do Chalitza, and we'll clarify those cases, and other circumstances, will simply go ahead and strongly advise him to do so. All right, Devos, we'll stop over here. It's Hashem, we'll pick up. I apologize again that I was late this morning. All right, stay tuned for the email about the schedule for tomorrow. Figure that out.